One of the listeners, Rob, can you sit with me?
Yes, certainly.
Thank you,
I believe you're a member of the bar of this court as of now. I believe Mr. Zdravkovich is a member of the bar of the court, is he not, as of now?
As of now, that's our understanding.
That's our understanding as well.
Not formally checked the record, so I don't want to make a representation.
I appreciate that. I appreciate your bringing the letter at our request. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, it took some effort, but we were glad to do it, and we appreciate your...
Okay, you have 10 minutes.
First, we'd like to thank the court very much. Mr. Zdravkovich asked me to thank the court for this hearing and just being heard. I know the court's got limited resources, and we appreciate just the opportunity to be here. Now, the court knows this is proceeding under Rule 4 of the court's disciplinary rules of the bar. It involves a Maryland Court of Appeals disbarment decision that's here on reciprocal discipline. And it's our position that this disbarment order from the Maryland Court of Appeals is actually not, should not be honored by this court, because the Maryland Court of Appeals failed to honor its own precedent. They follow the ABA standards when it comes to client funds misrepresentation. Briefly, as the Your Honors know, in this case, Mr. Zdravkovich agreed to engage in civil and criminal representation of an individual in the Annapolis area. The court now has the letter that he submitted to the client, and the client came to him in the first place because his secretary, Mary Louise Woolridge, was Mr. Hunter's live-in girlfriend. And he transmitted that letter to the client through Ms. Woolridge. And Mr. Hunter admits that he read the letter, and indeed he sent $1,500, which is the representation fee for the criminal case. And Mr. Zdravkovich followed through with that representation, actually was quite successful, and got probation before judgment, which, if you know Maryland law, is quite a good result when you can get it in Maryland. And he completed that representation. Now, it involved a dispute, a ruckus, if you will, that Mr. Hunter had created at the Annapolis Harley-Davidson dealership involving motorcycles. And Mr. Hunter not only was being prosecuted for being unruly and disorderly and obnoxious, but he in turn wanted to file certain civil actions, and there were two. One civil action involved specific performance because there was a motorcycle that he had his heart set on that he really wanted to get, and the dealership refused to sell it to him because of the dispute. That was one thing. That was a flat fee, a matter of $3,500. And there was a third case covered in the letter, which was also a civil case, where Mr. Hunter wanted to sue for damages, saying that he had been falsely imprisoned, that he had been defamed, and those sorts of torts, that he wanted to file an action. And Mr. Zdravkovich said, I will do that, and here's how we'll do that in the letter. And it involves paying certain cash, retainer, minimum retainer, and it also involves paying expenses. And here's my letter. Now, pursuant to the letter, as I said, Mr. Hunter did indeed pay the $1,500 for the criminal representation. He admitted he read the letter. He didn't
sign a letter, though.
He never signed it. He never signed it. And also pursuant to the letter, the civil cases, as to specific performance, he gave Mr. Zdravkovich $15,552. And that's the money that were at issue here.
And Mr. Chair, just so.
Yes.
The letter doesn't request a signature. It says, please, where is it? Kindly advise. That's all it says. Doesn't
yes.
request a signature. Wasn't it your client's testimony that his secretary told him that Mr. Hunter had agreed?
Absolutely.
Right. And did Mr. Hunter, and Mr. Hunter later denied that, right?
I wasn't trial counsel at that point, but he denies, I don't know if he was asked specifically about Ms. Woolridge, but he did deny, I never agreed to pay the money that's called for in the letter. That part he definitely did dispute. There's no question about
that. And
that,
the ALJ credited Hunter.
Yes, that's correct.
All right, go ahead.
They did. Anyway, pursuant to the letter, $15,552 was deposited in Mr. Zdravkovich's escrow account. The purpose of that, which was done, I believe, the next day after the letter, November 6th, Mr. Hunter acted right away. Purpose of that was Mr. Zdravkovich wanted to be able to prove that he had the ability to buy the motorcycle that was at issue. Then there was an issue, hey, I need to get paid for my time according to the letter, the cash retainer part. There was also a contingency in the third case at the bottom, the damages action. But I need to get paid my retainer amount. And that's when Mr. Zdravkovich says, I talked to Ms. Woolridge, and she talked to Hunter, and Mr. Hunter said, take it from my escrow account, and that's why we're here. There's no question the fact finder, the law judge, Judge Loney, said that Mr. Zdravkovich did the work. No question about that. He did good work, and he worked for many months, from November, early November, all the way through to late March. And indeed, he filed a civil action for specific performance and took other actions. There's no dispute about that. Matter of fact, I don't think there's much dispute or any dispute about any of the facts that I'm relating to you now.
At what point did he take the, what date did he take the money out of the $15,552?
He never took the full amount. That's a very important point.
I appreciate he didn't take the full amount. He took some amount so that the $15,552 was reduced.
Yes, over time, starting in November.
When was the first time that it was reduced below $15,552?
It would have been later in November.
You know by when? 1,000.
You know when?
I don't know the exact date. Obviously, I can get whatever information you like me to get. I don't know the exact date in my head. If Mr. Zdravkovich is...
It was sometime in November?
Yes, sometime in November.
So he made a representation to the dealership in order to get for specific performance that
yes.
he had $15,552
yes.
in the escrow account, right?
Yes, which
indicates would indicate, or and the issue here is whether whether Maryland made a reasonable decision here. It's not whether we would make the same decision if you represent somebody that you have $15,552 in an escrow account for the purpose of buying a motorcycle, that sounds inconsistent with the idea that you could then take that money out.
Well, the arrangement changed at Mr. Hunter's own request.
Well,
in other words, it wasn't, excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt, but.
Well, I guess what I understand the point, except that on November 30th, he actually brought a suit for a specific performance. Is that right?
Yes, that's my understanding.
Well, and you can't bring that suit without having $15,552 available to exchange.
Well, that's the key word is available. The key word is available.
Well, the representation had been that it was in the escrow account.
Well, I don't believe that, if I may, that the specific representation was court in Maryland. I have it in my escrow account, therefore I can pay it. I think the representation is I'm able to pay it.
Well, according to the Attorney Grievance Commission, the representation to Harley-Davidson's dealership was that it was represented to be in his escrow account.
I don't think that was the precise representation. I have not read the pleadings exactly, but the representation was I'm able to, and started out having the money in the escrow account, which I believe was Mr. Zdravkovich's own idea to make sure at least he had money to start with. And it was not a central point to the case, I have it in escrow. The central point was I have the capability, I can come up with the money to buy the motorcycle if I need to. That's how it changed. And again, it was Mr. Hunter's own suggestion that, oh, I gave you money in escrow, just use that money for my legal fees that I owe, and I will, the implied part of it.
That's one interpretation. The Maryland took the other view of what actually happened, that was not true, that Hunter had never said that, and then that your client proceeded with respect to making representations as if the money were still there, and that was clear what the purpose of the money was for.
But nowhere does it say that Mr. Zdravkovich lied or misrepresented to the court in Maryland. And again,
no, you mean with respect to the specific performance.
In other words, he didn't say to the court in Maryland, I have it in my escrow account, the whole amount. Again, what he said to the court in Maryland was, I have the capability, which would include funds in the escrow account. Because that would be a direct misrepresentation, and he didn't do it, number one, and second, no one ever said he did.
He actually petitioned to deposit the full amount into the clerk of the court, right?
That's correct. That was, I believe, in about February of 2000, this case starting in November 1999. He actually petitioned the court, let me put the whole amount in the court registry, and the court denied that. So
he didn't have the whole amount at that time to put in the registry.
He did not. He did not. According to what his understanding with the arrangement with Mr. Hunter and Ms. Woolridge, and by the way, Ms. Woolridge was writing the check. She handled the escrow account accounting. So she knew that money was going to Mr. Zdravkovich, and she got money herself for investigative services over and above what Mr. Zdravkovich paid her to work in his office. So she was well aware of what was happening. Mr. Zdravkovich had communications. He said,
well, everything you're saying is hearsay with respect to her statements, right? She didn't testify.
She did not testify. But Mr. Zdravkovich did.
And Maryland apparently didn't believe him.
Well, as I understand, there may have not have been extensive testimony on that point. I don't have the transcript in front of me, and I can't make the representation.
Well, if the Maryland court had said, we believe every word that Mr. Zdravkovich had said, and we're going to punish him anyway, you would have a great case. But they didn't say that. They said that he was not told that he could take the money out of the escrow account.
Yes, they said that, agreed that Mr. Hunter said that he couldn't. But there was no direct communication between those two, unfortunately, Mr. Hunter and Mr. Zdravkovich. And we all know what he should have done, but didn't do that. There was no direct communication. But then we have a situation, as we have now, where the Court of Appeals made essentially no analysis whatsoever as their own precedents require as to whether this was negligence, was it reckless, or was it intentional misrepresentation. And intentional misrepresentation, as this court knows, is a very high standard. Intentional misrepresentation, that he had a knowing intent to take the money knowing it was wrong. And certainly there's a misunderstanding here and there's confusion here, But there is, except for one point, there's no evidence anybody's ever pointed to that this man knew and intentionally took this money wrongfully. In other words, he didn't steal the widow's trust money. That's the optimum case of intentional misappropriation. He didn't do that.
Harris, are you familiar with any case in which we have denied reciprocal discipline?
I'm not. I'd be happy to do any research the court would like, but
I'm not either.
I'm not familiar with.
Any further questions for Mr. Harris?
No. I'm not. Mr. Harris. There may not be any. I don't know either way. But here, again,
time is about 1.5 over.
Yes, sir.
Let's say we're about 15 minutes into a 10-minute argument.
Yes, well, we appreciate every moment, sir.
Appreciate your coming. Okay, thank you. The case is submitted.
Thank you very much.